I'm an addict. My name's AD. And thank you so much, Spaz. Thank you for your share. Thank you all for being here. Welcome to Holland. You know, people kind of visiting, and really big welcome to anybody that's new and kind of returning. And you know, what a great share, Spaz. You know, I spent a long time coming in and out of these meetings and being silent and paralyzed by fear. And we don't shoot our wounded. And you know, it's a brilliant share, man. I love you. I've known you for a long time, and you know, I've learned so much in Narcotics Anonymous. And you know, my prayer and meditation this morning is about just penetrating one person's heart in this room. You know, I'm not here to be like a fan and you know, everybody up sort of come to me and hug. What a great share. You know, my primary purpose in Narcotics Anonymous is to carry this message to the still suffering addict. And you know, that was what was carried to me freely. And I live by that sword. I die by that sword. You know, I don't give. I speak very, very softly. I'm like Spaz, you know, in NA, you know, I'm a loud person. Outside, I'm very quiet. I'm a very, very gentle speaker. Not on stage, just anywhere, I speak very gently. So I live and I die by this sword, you know, what was given to me freely by this fellowship, you know. And, you know, I had to pay that price for like many years in addiction. So hello, Jeff. Love you, man. It's going to be really difficult. There's so many people in this room that I love, you know, being on this journey, you know, such miracles of this program. If you've not experienced miracles in this program, just keep coming back. You know, I've experienced so much kind of wonderful stuff in this program, you know, and that promise of freedom. You know, it's just was not the case when I come to NA. You know, I'd sit in the back of the meetings, kind of judging, criticizing. I'd be full of fear. I wouldn't talk to nobody. You know, the literature talks about, you know, animal level of life skills. You know, I had a desire, but, you know, what I've learned in this process, and it talks about in the older literature about an honest desire. You know, I had times of desperation that I wanted to get clean because I couldn't take the pain and consequences no more. But the reality is I just wanted to carry on using. I just wanted the pain and the consequences to stop. And if they would have kind of stopped, I would have carried on using. And, you know, I come into this fellowship kind of illiterate. I use the word thick as not a sort of a negative connotation. I had no education. So, like, I could talk to you about the finding ways and means of getting more, and I could recite Mims books, and, you know, I could pretend to be a chemist and stuff. But, like, you know, when I come to these rooms and you kind of, I heard these reading cards, you know, that this kind of disease was on me, and, you know, and all those kind of old messages would kind of cripple me with fear. And sort of my attitudes were, if you want what we have, you need to be prepared to get it. And I'm the type of addict that I like to cut corners. Do you know what I mean? I'm just not the guy that goes A to B. You know, I go A to Z to Y, and then I go to jail, and then it's just, I am a really, really bad listener. You know, and by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I thought I knew everything. Do you know what I mean? I'm one of these typical addicts, tells you to, like, how to recover, you know, how the format of meetings need to go, you know, and I'm like 2 weeks clean. I don't know my backside from my nose. And this is just the way my attitude and how this disease has driven me all the way through my life. You know, I share really closely with, I'm just a bad decision maker. You know, my sponsor, my friends would tell you that I'm just a bad decision maker. And with this topic, the only thing I can guarantee you is the 100% truth is I've not used through this process. You know, that just covers this topic. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm not looking for, like, well done. I'm here just to carry this message. You know, I've been around enough time. You know, the heroine's kept me, like, looking really young, you know, But when I tell people how long I've been clean, they're quite surprised because, you know, I look young, I look good. And, you know, well, I'm trying my best, mate. But, you know, and everything, every little bit and that has been a direct result of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I have worked this stuff tirelessly, you know, and I've observed and I've taken people's inventory and I've judged people and, you know, I've wrote in their step four for them because they haven't. And, you know, I've tied myself in knots and I've been riddled with this disease and you know, I'm just riddled, you know, for years. But I've had a huge heart. I've been passionate and I wholly believe in this stuff 100%, you know what I mean? And, you know, I always remain like grateful to my predecessors. I normally start my share with my predecessors because I love them. If it wasn't for them people that kept the doors open for me, you know, keep hugging me when I come back, you know, even remembering my name, putting the coffee pot on, you know, telling me to sit down and I won't swear, but, you know, shut up, you know nothing. We'll come to you if we want to know how to use drugs and all that kind of old gear. You know, these predecessors loved me, do you know what I mean? I didn't know anything about love or care, do you know what I mean? I knew just how to kind of shoot up heroin and commit crime and all that rubbish that we kind of go through. And, you know, my predecessors believed in me. You know, I didn't have one grain of sand of
You want closer?
Jesus. You lot are asking a lot. So I forever remain grateful. I feel like I'm going to go rude there, but I won't. Remain grateful to these people, you know, and I've lost a few predecessors lately. And, you know, we talk in our literature about the still suffering. You know, generally when you get a few years behind your belt and all that kind of stuff, people just expect that you're okay and you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, I have a disease. I'm no different to anybody in this room. It manifests like anybody else is in this room. You know, I'm a bad decision maker. You know, I have a bag full of defects. Do you know what I mean? And I'm no different. You know, and I put people on pedestals when I come in. You know, when I saw somebody like 2 years clean, oh my God, the volume's gone up. When I seen somebody, I feel like I'm going to rap in a minute because I feel like I'm going into second gear. You know, when I saw somebody with 2 years clean, because where I come from, there was no NA, you know, there was no recovery. You know, I'd get busted. I'd go and see a probation officer. She'd give me this pamphlet. And I couldn't read, so I look at the pictures and think, all right, I'm going to go there. And I'd go there, and it wasn't like what I thought this holiday camp, celebrity camp was like. And you know, that kind of place through, you know, mass attempts, you know, I just don't listen. Do you know what I mean? I go into a place, and this can save your life, and I think, I can just have one. I'm all right. Just don't use heroin. And I've done institutions, and I'm not including jails and all the stuff in our readings. And I'm 15, because I don't listen. Do you know what I mean? This place was like the ambulance. It got me to Narcotics Anonymous, and my thinking was, I'm in this place, thinking, right, I need to go to the bursary and get some money. It says narcotics. I'm going to score there, and I've gone to this meeting, and I'm nudging my peers, going, I'm just about to swear. These people, because I didn't know, like, addicts didn't use like me. I just didn't, you know, I come from a world that, you know, nobody used like me. You know, there was these differences the whole time. And I looked around this room, like dingy cafe in Western Supermare, and I thought, none of these look like they use. And I'm nudging my peers, like, who's got the gear then? And they're just, like, laughing. And, you know, this guy done a share and I didn't know about like the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. You know, I identified to this guy. Do you know what I mean? It was a nut and bolt all the way through, apart from the crime. Do you know what I mean? He was a burger, I was a drug dealer, and you know, the conspiracy of this disease is when I went back into this institution that they're taking my life story and they're giving it to this guy. You know, I was that important. But this is how my denial was for like years. You know, the acronym didn't even know I was lying. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, this disease is constantly lying. And, you know, by the time I come to Narcotics, this time. I just thought I told the truth the whole time. Do you know what I mean? I just thought I convinced. This disease just convinces me of all this stuff that, you know, you just tell the truth. You just, you know, you don't lie. You know, you're just a kind of... And this denial had to kind of be smashed. And, you know, I've kind of shared, you know, we're a spiritual program. You know, I thought this was a religious program. I only believe that they're going to brainwash me. They're going to buy me a pair of sandals and white socks. And, you know, I've shared this for years. So, you know, I really believe at some point some guy would jump out of a wardrobe and sing Kumbaya, and that'd be it. I'd be baptized. And, you know, this is just like, and this is just about this resistance with this disease, about kind of getting myself out of the way. You know, my whole life is I've just been in the way. You know, I just cause harms and wreckage. And it was really tough. So if you're new in, it's like the new, you know, it was just like I couldn't ask for help and I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't communicate, and I was paralyzed by fear. I didn't know what fear was. I mean, back then, you know, meetings were more like Fight Club and Pornographic Anonymous and stuff. You know, people didn't use the language that kind of here in the meetings. You know, there was very little of Narcotics Anonymous sponsorship and stuff like that. And, you know, when I look back, you know, it was just really like difficult. So for anybody kind of new and returning, just keep coming. You know, you'll experience the kind of miracles of recovery and kind of the stuff I heard in the early days that I just thought, that ain't going to happen to me. Do you know what I mean? And I'm dying to swear, but I'm doing quite well. I don't often. I shared in a Maltese like meeting, and the guy says, you swear a lot. And I was like, I don't, mate. So, you know, I don't even know when I'm lying. You know what I mean? I swore a lot. And I'm going, nah, mate, I don't swear very much. You know, us British, we, you know, the F word's in like every sentence, you know what I mean? We use a lot more like vocabulary. So like there had to be some like certain changes. So like, you know, I know what I've done from like, you know, the day I've come in to kind of where I'm at now. You know, I could share about all the wonderful stuff that I've done. But, you know, the most important thing was about getting a sponsor. You know, I had all this fear and rejection. You know, I was put into care when I was born. So, you know, this disease just kind of, you know, inflates the kind of rejection and the kind of abandonment. So, you know, and I was hung up with men. Do you know what I mean? I had no trust in men. Do you know what I mean? Women, all day long, man. I'd have 30 women sponsors at the time. Do you know what I mean? As I shared at the closing share, the ones that were there and know about my behavior around women, which I'm not going to share here. I'm going to do really well about that. You know, I didn't know I had a disease when I got clean. Do you know what I mean? I come in as a heroin addict. I didn't know about the layers of this disease. Do you know what I mean? I come in as a heroin addict. You know, my ultimate goal was to stop using heroin. I didn't know nothing about what it says in our literature about the symptoms of this disease, the layers of the onions. Do you know what I mean? My ultimate goal, I stopped using heroin and I'll be all right. Do you know what I mean? I didn't know about abstinence. Do you know what I mean? I had to learn about abstinence and... You know, and I remember, and I'm going to try not to lie because, you know, I don't want to sound like a weak, feeble man, but like I had to kind of do hand signals to this guy for him to sponsor me. I was just so paralyzed by fear. And he agreed, you know what I mean? I feel like a British comedy sketch and trying to sort of do hand signals in like this feeble man, like, will you sponsor me? And, you know, this guy was amazing. There was two guys in our local area and in Weymouth, and unfortunately, you know, one passed in December with cancer, and it was such a quick event. But, you know, I love these guys, do you know what I mean? These guys were taking me to meetings and taking me out for food and just, it's just trying to accept that help was just kind of so overwhelming. And, you know, I'd go home and I'd be plotting and planning how am I going to repay them, and you know, we only keep what we have by giving this stuff away. I wholly believe, and I'm not saying that you know, I have got what I need from this program, you know, and I keep maintaining what I've been given freely. You know, nothing, you know, everything has been given freely through this program. And it is, you know, I live and die by this sword in giving this stuff away. And, you know, I am so passionate about this stuff. You know, in the early days, I thought I'd run around and sell this shit. Do you know what I mean? If I could put the, oh, I've just swore. If I could put this stuff in bottles, you know, I'd sell it to people. And you know, and the last time I come to Rotterdam, I come to the convention, and there was a lot of like young people in there. You know, I felt really old. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my God, Jesus, have I come to the wrong lot? Convention and stuff, and I got asked to share at a young person's meeting. I was like, what, mate? I was like, I'm 53. He was like, but I got clean when I was young, and you know, I got all those kind of hope shots kind of going through there. You know, I'd done what we suggest, which I only believe is a must. You know, what I've been given through kind of sponsorship and kind of service, you know, and what I've developed around an higher power, you know, is work for me kind of full fold. And it's just been an amazing and wonderful process. And you know, I know somebody in the room, well, two people in the room, have got the topic no matter what. So kind of like, you know, so I had a lot of reservations when I come in, and I want to kind of talk about them, because when I come into Narcotics Anonymous, I had a lot of reservations. I come in an heroin addict, you know what I mean? I didn't even understand what abstinence was, do you know what I mean? You know, my first biggest fear was what happens if I use again? Because my track record is you know, I was one of these serial relapses, and you know, everybody judge, and you know, they're being there like betting on me how long I'd last this time and stuff like that. And so my first reservation was like, you know, I knew nothing about Just for Today. Do you know what I mean? I come in and I lived in the past and the future. Do you know what I mean? The comprehension of living in this present day was unfounded. Do you know what I mean? I was living in my childhood, or was living in 5 years, in what's going to happen, what jail am I going to use, am I going to be married, am I going to have four kids, and it just wasn't possible to live in that moment. So my sponsors give me these nuggets of gold. So like, I don't understand nuggets of gold, I don't understand any information when I come in, and I had this obsession. Do you know what I mean? I knew nothing about obsessions. Do you know what I mean? I just knew I was on an hamster wheel with my addiction. And he just said to me, and I love this guy, but these nuggets was just like, but I just don't comprehend these nuggets. He would say something and I'd look at him and I want to swear, but I'd be like, what the? And I'd go away and what does this, you know, what does this guy mean by this? But he said, look, if you want to use tomorrow. And I mean, it's that simple to understand. But like, my brain just, you know, I've lived on the street. I'm a street rat. I'm an errand junkie. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, what does he mean? Used to, you know, in my default setting, using tomorrow doesn't come till tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? And after a couple of weeks, I was like, I know what he means. Do you know what I mean? I start taking credit for his little nuggets of gold. Do you know what I mean? I know what he means. Because my thinking is like, you know, I had an obsession of this mind, and I wanted to use. I didn't know about the obsession. I didn't know. Do you know what I mean? Nobody informed me of this stuff. Do you know what I mean? They informed me it's because you're given up at birth, you're raped when you're eight, you're racially bullied. You know, there was a thousand things thrown at me, but nobody said that you have a disease of addiction. Do you know what I mean? I could accept. It makes total sense to me. Do you know what I mean? When you're told 1,000 times, and I'm not blaming these people, they do great work. But, you know, wholly believe, like, if you want some shelves put up, you go and see a carpenter. If you want your boiler fixed, you go and see a plumber. If you want to get clean and stay clean, you come to Narcotics Anonymous. Do you know what I mean? This is the information I kind of need. So, going back to that nugget of gold, I got it after 2 weeks and thought, I know what he means. He's very clever. He's like, it's not going to happen, is it? Because I want to use tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes. Do you know what I mean? I got a little epiphany, took all the credit, but without lying too much, because I am a compulsive liar, you know, I think I was a few months in, and I remember waking up one day, and I had a cup of coffee and a rollie, And I remember just looking up and thinking, I've not thought of using for a bit. You know, and it was the first time that I was aware that the obsession had been removed. And, you know, that has stayed with me throughout my recovery, because the way I used, you know, my obsession was persistent. You know, I didn't stop. You know, even when I, you know, generally stopped when I was in handcuffs or I go to an institution, I spent the whole time obsessing. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'd have a laid plan how I'm going to recover outside. But then, you know, I'd sit in jail obsessing and fantasizing that my cell was full of heroin and I'm going to use my way out to get out this door. And it's just like insane. And so my other reservations was my family. And, you know, I've lost a lot of family through recovery. And it was really strange when I lost my brother. My brother just died of a heart attack when he was 39. You know, when I was younger, my brother was like leading this life of he's going down the road I was going down. You know, he was getting all like the kind of negative attention, you know, arrested. He was like in mass, like gang warfare with all these Hells Angels. It was just crazy stuff. I used to ride along on my cow horns with no brakes and go and watch all these, you know, guns and crossbows and stuff like that. And he died. And you know, I remember, you know, these are some of the gifts I've had from Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not going to talk about gold chains and cars. You know, I could be in the present moment with my parents, and, you know, I could kind of support them, that they supported me my whole life. And, you know, after a small period of time that day, I said, look, can I go to Narcotics Anonymous? You know, I need a meeting. And, you know, I went to this meeting. It was a Tuesday night meeting in Weymouth at a Baptist church. And I remember just crying my eyes out, you know. And I'm forever grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. You know, you've carried me through the most painful times, the times that I'd never thought or even comprehended going through. You know, a few years I lost my mum, and you know, what amazing experience that she managed to experience the first 13 years of my recovery. You know, recovery babies being born, you know, her being a grandparent, and you know, being there for my I call him my pups, he's my father, being there for my father, you know, supporting him, and you know, exactly the same thing, making sure he's okay, and you know, he's supported and he's loved. But Dad, I need to go to Narcotics Anonymous. Do you know what I mean? And I went to this meeting, and you know, I shared honestly. I don't like being vulnerable. Do you know what I mean? I like spaz. Do you know what I mean? I want to be a bit of a geezer, have a laugh. Do you know what I mean? And it's been really hard to kind of let this guard down and be vulnerable, because, you know, my whole life, you know, being a masculine, you know, most of my addiction, I've been a drug dealer. Do you know what I mean? I don't show weakness, you know, and this program has allowed me to kind of soften, you know, take them risks and you know, just get vulnerable, you know, talk about them kind of funny things, feelings, you know, and I just shared my heart out, because I know Narcotics Anonymous, I know you people will carry me through this stuff and, you know, kind of give me that kind of hope shot to kind of push through this kind of stuff. And I know there's a guy in the room, he's probably sleeping now, but I wet, and this is the amazing thing about the therapeutic value of one addict helping another addict without parallel. I knew he'd lost his mum, so I went to speak to him after the meeting. It's you. And that's the power of the program. You know, if you kind of lost your job, lost a family member, you know, you've got health problems, you know, there is so much kind of stuff that we can identify into this meeting. And you know, it's like, you know, the power of two addicts getting together and kind of sharing kind of life stuff, because just because I've got clean, it don't mean I've got this stuff sussed. Do you know what I mean? It's like I am work in progress. My favorite word is kind of practice. You know, I only believed I'd come here and everything would be all right. And it wasn't like that. It wasn't. Do you know what I mean? The first 2 years were just difficult. Do you know what I mean? It was like holding on for dear life. Do you know what I mean? Wanting to use, not wanting to use. I'm jumping in between promiscuous relationships, like as much as I like sweets. Do you know what I mean? I it's just really kind of like difficult. And this fellowship has continually carried me through this. And I have three wonderful kids. Not I've had personally. Is that five? And we were talking yesterday, me, Andre, Mariano, you know, they're both my sponsors, and we're talking about fatherhood yesterday, and it was really like kind of special, you know, something that we share in sponsorship. You know, able to somebody to sort of trust me into their lives and in this journey and kind of share this journey. You know, guys, I love you. I really do. You know, speaking to Mariano outside, I was really emotional, you know, and to share this journey, you know, this heartbeat of Narcotics Anonymous is something special, you know, something that, you know, I know my best friend Matt, you know, we share with passion is sponsorship, you know, and what I've seen is some amazing women in this fellowship, because where I come from, there were so little, like, females. Like, you know, it's very male dominated, and you know what this program has shown me is you know how many empowered, amazing women there is in this fellowship, and how they've recovered from their trauma, and you know all the stuff that happens to them, the addiction. I've met some amazing people in this journey, and you know I've seen how they recovered, and I've seen how they sponsor people, and I've seen their sponsorship trees, and you know, and it's just. For me, I still need this hope. You know, I'm not like fully recovered. You know, I've had some really serious like health conditions in the last 10 years, real like chronic and serious, and I've really suffered, and you know, my hope dwindles, my faith dwindles. I end up in hospital, think I'm going to die. This is it. You know, and I lose faith. I start talking to my higher power and think, is this it? You know, my kids are no longer going to have a fight. You know, it's a really dark place. I've been in some really dark places in the last 10 years with my recovery. And, you know, for me, you know, I found online meetings in 2015 and they saved my life. You know, they saved my life long before the pandemic. Do you know what I mean? I was doing this online stuff and, you know, I'm forever grateful to them. Being outside operating theatres, sharing in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you know, NA at home in Australia. You know, I'm so grateful. You know, I was scared. I was paralysed by fear. You know, I thought my life was over, and I'm so grateful to the online community and what we've got now, you know, from the pandemic. So I love you all. Do you know what I mean? I might not like a few people, but that's NA, isn't it? It's just the nature of the beast, isn't it? It's just the nature of the beast. But I have so much kind of love for people, and you know, there's so many people I've met on this journey that are here and I'm mugging, and you know, I'm trying to get 2 seconds to myself, and I can't get 2 seconds to myself, and then it's just amazing. So like, you know, this program is just miracles. Do you know what I mean? We're all miracles. You know, whether you got the desire, whether you got that day, we're all miracles in this program. And you know, I really hope you have an amazing time here. Do you know what I mean? If you're like me and you're a bonkers addict, you'll have an amazing time. You'll meet loads of people, and then you'll have you. But for the ones, do you know what I mean? It can be really overwhelming. Do you know what I mean? Like. Couple of thousand people, 3,000, it can be really overwhelming, and just make sure you got the right support in place. And after the convention, you know, you have this emotional come down. So just make sure you get to some meetings, speak to your sponsor, your friends, and all that kind of stuff. And if it is your first convention, I hope you have like a wonderful time. And with that, I love you all, and I'll leave it there.